If you're a parent who wants to learn tools, tips, and strategies to become a better parent and to teach your kids life skills and connect with them on a deeper level, then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Kate Godfrey, and welcome to the Authenticate podcast, where we'll discuss all things parenting, from boundaries to boredom, discipline to disrespect, and pretty much everything in between. I'm excited to support, encourage, and challenge you no matter where you are in your parenting journey and share mine with you along the way. Let's get started. Hey friends, welcome back. Episode number 5. Hope everybody's having a great week so far. If you're listening when this just came out, it is Thursday, May 11th, and I cannot believe it's May already. I know for me personally, I feel like the weeks and the months have been flying by. I cannot believe that we're almost to June and summer, and my kids are going to be done with school on June 2nd. It has gone a bit too fast for me personally. I don't know how you guys feel, but it has gone at lightning speed. I'm still trying to catch my breath. And for those of you who've been following us a little bit, you know that we've had transitions since last year, moved out of a job we had for 12 years, each got new jobs. The girls are at the same school, but started new sports and things like that, and relaunching the podcast and redoing social media, rebranding, all of the things. It's been busy, but it's been fun. It's been good. So anyway, all that to say, welcome back. Thank you for joining me for this episode. And today we are talking about listening, our kids listening to us or not listening to us, whatever the case may be. And you know, whatever age your kids are right now, you may be struggling with them not listening. They may be 18 months old. They could be 3, 5, 10, 15, 18, still in the house. Maybe they're in college and they're still not listening. Who knows? But the point is, and you know, maybe your kids are great listeners, and that's a great thing. Awesome, and hats off to you. I'm sure you've had to teach them some of those skills. But we're going to cover, hopefully, all things, or at least most things, listening today. And I've got some tools and strategies for you if that's an area you're struggling in. And full disclosure, I still struggle with it at times. I've been interviewed on people's podcasts about it. And, you know, I can give all the tips and tricks in the world many times, but then day-to-day life hits and reality hits and I forget my own tips and tricks. And I get equally as frustrated and overwhelmed with my kids when they don't listen, just like you do. So I am by no means a perfect parent and by no means have it all together. I just know tips and tricks that I've learned and I can definitely pass them on. I just have to remember them myself sometimes, as we all do when we know what to do, but forget what to do depending on the situation. So first of all, why won't our kids listen? What are reasons our kids won't listen to us, and how can we get them to listen to us and follow through so we're not losing our minds, so they are learning to listen the first time, or at least by the second time, but preferably the first? So, you know, just think about, first of all, what gets you to listen to someone? Because our kids are people, right? Just like us. Just because they're kids doesn't mean they're less than us or any less smart than us. They may have less life experience, but it doesn't mean they're less smart, and they want to be treated just as we want to be treated. And that respect should be shown to them just as like we want respect from them. So think about things that get you to listen, whether it's to your partner or your spouse or your boss or whoever may be talking to you, your friend. How does someone get your attention and get you to listen to them? Or what motivates you to follow through and do something that somebody asks you to do? And yes, that can be easier if it is your boss. Of course, you need to do what they tell you to do. But it can be different for different people. So think about that. Does nagging work? Generally, no. Nobody enjoys nagging. Nagging is annoying and it really makes you kind of tune out, most likely. Yelling, not a fan. But as parents, I do know we can all revert to this, especially when we're tired, we're overwhelmed, we're feeling some type of way. We had a long day at work. Maybe we just had a fight with our partner. Maybe we're having friendship issues. It can be a host of things. But yelling at our kids doesn't work. We don't appreciate being yelled at, I don't think. I know I don't. Constantly reminding our kids to do things, which can fall into the category of nagging, but even if it's gentle reminding and it's not, so to speak, nagging, nobody wants to be constantly reminded to do something, and nobody wants to have to keep repeating an instruction to remind someone over and over and over again. It's annoying. And then this was the last one I could think of. If there's any others, feel free to reach out and let me know. But doing it for your kids does not teach them anything. It does not teach them to listen, that's for sure, because they'll just hold out until you do it for them. It doesn't teach them responsibility. It doesn't teach them accountability. You end up doing it for them. So they're not learning multiple life skills right there. And you're just going to, you know, fill up that bank of resentment and frustration with them because you keep doing it for them and wondering why they didn't listen. And you're like, well, I'll just do it myself. That doesn't work. And like I said, it doesn't teach them anything and backfires on you, really. So think about it. Like what I said before, what gets your attention? I know for me that if I get clear instructions, so they're said clearly, that helps me to listen because I know what I'm doing. I know what the expectations are because someone has explained them to me and the instructions are clear. So that's very important. I know that incentives work for me. Not always. I am a person who just does things because I know they need to get done. But some people really respond to incentives. So if that works for your kids, that's awesome. Give them incentives to work towards. Now, I'm not saying you need to give them an incentive every time. I don't necessarily agree with that. But to start out, and especially when your kids are young or if it's something new that they're learning or you're asking them to do, or they're particularly tired or maybe, you know, it's the weekend, everybody's had a long week, but there is stuff that needs to get done, offer an incentive, give them that motivation, that extra push that they would need to want to do it for you, whether it's extra screen time, like we say in our house, you can earn 30 extra minutes on your phone or on your video game, whatever it is, or offer to maybe pay them a few bucks. If you don't already pay them for doing chores around the house or they don't get an allowance, offer to pay them to do something extra. Or maybe say, hey, when you do this, we'll go grab a coffee afterwards. Or if your kid's younger, we'll go get a small toy at the store. If you help mommy, if you help daddy do this, whatever it is, whatever you know motivates your child, absolutely 100% use that. We all know that if we are working parents that, you know, if your boss offers an incentive, you're probably going to jump on that and be a little more motivated to do what they've asked you to do. I know personally for me, they needed some extra help on a weekend and said, hey, if you come in 4 hours to help on the weekend, we'll give you 8 hours off that you can apply to anywhere else. Huge motivator right there. I will gladly work 4 hours to earn 8 hours free that I can apply anywhere else. So that was a no-brainer for me. And then also for kids, especially older kids, or maybe kids who, you know, struggle to remember what you told them, making a list is a great way to get them to listen and to follow through. I know my oldest daughter, Trinity, loves just to make lists on her own. She is a list maker. I personally also love to make lists. I do have lists on my phone, but I am a personal fan of the pen and paper, or the, you know, the pencil and paper list. I love to check it off. And that helps me keep track in my mind of, okay, what do I need to do? And even whether it's what I need to do right now or today, tonight, this week, this weekend, whatever it is, however you want to break that down. But maybe giving your child a list would be helpful for them to listen and follow through as well. But here are some things I've shared before in Reels that I wanted to expand on just a little bit, because I know this is a topic that has resonated with people, and I know this is a big area for parents. Again, no one wants to repeat themselves over and over and over again. Nobody wants to feel like a nag. No parent really wants to have to do it for their kids. We do want to teach them the life skills in order for them to listen and follow through the first time. So one of the big steps in doing this is really to get your child's attention and to do that, you know, whatever they're doing, instead of just saying it to them mindlessly, which I, again, can be guilty of because I'm busy, I'm passing through. Hey, can you grab that? Can you do this? Can you do that? And I can pop out three things and they're in the middle of doing something, didn't even hear me, no fault of their own. And I'm on my merry little way. And then I come back, I'm like, well, why didn't you do that? Oh, I didn't know you were talking to me. I didn't hear you. So first of all, have your kids stop what they're doing, no matter their age, and then make eye contact with them. Now, I have had very wise parents point out to me, because I know not all kids are the same, if your child is neurodivergent and has issues with eye contact, absolutely skip this part. You're not trying to upset your child or to trigger them in any way. So if you have a child that struggles with that, then you can skip this part. But for the majority of parents, have your child stop what they're doing and make eye contact with them. And once you have their full attention, say to them what you would like them to do. Now again, don't overwhelm them with what you want them to do. If they are younger, give them maybe one task at a time if you're asking them to do something, and then have them come back and check in with you and say, "Mom, I got it done," and then you may give the next instruction. If they're older, they of course can handle a few instructions at a time, but depending on what it is, give the instruction or instructions to them and then have them repeat the instructions back to you. That way, you 100% know they've heard you, and 100% they can't say, "I didn't hear you. I didn't know what you wanted me to do." Now, maybe they'll come back and say, "I don't remember the second or the third thing," and you can repeat that for them. But generally, have them repeat it back so you know they've heard you, the instructions were given, the instructions were clear, and then have them go do that. Again, you can offer them an incentive, but I also find it helpful if incentives maybe don't motivate your child, you can offer, give one warning and say, "If this is not done by," fill in your time frame, "then this is going to happen. This is the consequence." And make sure that you are giving that consequence and that it is a relatable consequence to what you are asking them to do. If it's not relatable, it's not going to make sense to them. It's not going to stick. It's not going to have the impact that you want it to have. So one warning and then a clear consequence of what will happen if it is not done. And be prepared that if it's not done, to follow through with the consequence. If you are not following through, your words will be empty to your kids. They know you're not going to follow through. And then even all the front end work of stopping them doing what they're doing, making the eye contact, having them repeat the instructions, it really will fall on deaf ears, because they know that if they just don't do it, you're not going to do anything about it. So why would they listen in the first place? So you really do have to follow through with a realistic, doable consequence that makes sense to them and something that will make them uncomfortable or have an impact on them, let's say. So something that you know they want, that if it's taken away, they're not going to be super happy about, but you know that they want. So, hey, if you're not going to follow through and do this, then you lose 30 minutes of your video game time, or you lose playtime with your friends. You lose, you know, whatever it is that would motivate them, saying you're simply not going to be able to do that unless you follow through with this. Make sure that you're patient, especially if this is a new skill for you and for your child. If this has not been practiced, be patient with yourself. Be patient with your child. This is not going to be an overnight thing. This is a life skill that they are learning and that you are teaching them. So as the teacher and as the student, you are both learning together. So be patient. Give yourself time, give them time to get the hang of it, tweak it, make it work for you, your situation, your family structure, all of those things. And just be patient and give them, you know, it may take a few days before it sinks in. It may take a week, it may take 2 weeks. But as you are firm and consistent, you keep practicing giving the skill to them. They keep practicing the skill. Once it's given, it becomes a habit. And then it will, you know, hopefully you're going to be on autopilot on some point that not too far in the future, where you say something, you make that eye contact, you give them the clear instructions, you ask them to do it, they repeat it. And you may even be able to skip over that part as they get better with this skill. And you could simply give them instructions and you will notice that they get up and they do what you've asked them to do. And no harm, no foul, so to speak. And there's not that tension. There's not that disconnect. There's not that frustration on your end or annoyance on their end. That's all really eliminated because you're staying firm. You're staying consistent. You're following through. They're learning the skill. They're getting better at the skill. And the skill has become a habit that really will pay off for them now and for the rest of their life. This is a listening is a skill, believe it or not. And not just, you know, we talk about active listening and it is important to listen to our kids and listen to other people and really hear what they're saying. But listening is a skill that your kids can learn now, not only with you in the home, but with their friends, with other adults, maybe coaches, maybe teachers. If they're older, obviously, if they go to college, they're college professors. They're going to have jobs someday, hopefully. They need to be able to learn to listen to their boss and listen the first time. And I did just do a podcast episode with a friend of mine, And she's like, you know, I was always the child, and there are many children like this, but I was always the child who wanted to know why. And that is perfectly okay for your child to ask why. And maybe you were that child when you were younger. You wanted to know the reason why behind things. That's totally fine, totally okay. And you should be taking time to explain to kids, especially the first time if you're asking them to do something. You can explain the reason why. I need you to do this, and here's why. And so they kind of have that buy-in. They understand where you're coming from, why it's important to you, or why it needs to be done, because it is part of the family unit. It's important to the family, whatever it is. Explain that to them. Again, you may need to explain it 1, 2, 3 times. There will come a point, because I absolutely 100% do understand as a parent, and I've heard this from other parents as well, there is a point when you ask your child to do something and they do need to listen the first time and should not be asking why, especially if it's already been explained to them. They know why. They're just trying to stall for time or make excuses. There is a time when they just need to follow through and do what they're asked to do, because there will be a time in life, you know, after they leave the home, have jobs, where when someone asks them to do something, they just cannot constantly ask why. It's different, you know, for clarification purposes, of course, sometimes. But if your boss asks you to do something, you cannot be standing there asking why all the time. You do it because your boss asks you to do it, because it's your job. So we're trying to get our kids to that point. But again, just to reiterate, it's okay for them to ask why initially, and they deserve to know why for many things. But after a certain point, they just need to listen and follow through, because you've just simply asked them to do that. Another thing you can also do is to use when and then statements with your kids. So when you've cleaned up your room, then you get to fill in whatever blank it is that motivates your child. And again, when you've said, so for example, an example I love to use is, when you've cleaned your room, then you may. But don't just say when you've cleaned your room. If your child is younger or they're not quite sure, because we know what a quote unquote clean room is to a child. Oh, I cleaned my room. And then you go check it. The bed is half made. There are dirty clothes shoved in the closet, or maybe the clean clothes just shoved in the closet, not put away. Other things are laying out and you're like, well, you didn't clean it. Some kids really need that breakdown of what clean means. So that may be the time where you do need to make that list for them and say, I need you to vacuum your room. I need you to make your bed. I need you to put away your clean clothes. I need you to tidy your desk. Whatever it is that works for you, that is a clean room to you, share those expectations with your child clearly so they know exactly what that looks like. Give them a list or have them make a list and go from there, so they don't just say, oh yeah, I cleaned it, and then they're on their way, and then you check it 30 minutes later because you were busy and it wasn't clean at all, and then you have to bring them back from doing whatever they were doing. Now they're frustrated. You're frustrated because you felt like they didn't listen, but the expectations or the instructions weren't clear really from the beginning. So just make sure that if your kids are younger or don't quite understand that, make a list so they understand exactly what you're asking. And then you can say, when this is done, then by all means, you can then go do this, or then we will do this together. And you can also do that to teach your kids patience for yourself, but we can get into that at a different time using those when and then statements. But those are very powerful because they understand that they're not getting what they want until they do what they need to do. And that is something that we continue to teach our girls. We always told our high school girls, and we also taught our elementary boys when we were house parents. We do what we need to do before we do what we want to do. So yes, it may not be fun, but we do need to do these things. And then as soon as you get it done and it's done to standard or done to expectation, then you can go play. So don't just rush through it because you want to go play. Take your time, do it right. But then when it's done, then you can go play. So we had a lot of those conversations and really had to set those expectations and those standards. And don't feel bad for setting expectations and standards, because there's going to be expectations and standards for your kids their whole life. So if they can learn those at home from you in a safe space from people they love and they trust, they are going to be set up so much more to be successful in life than you can even imagine. So don't feel bad that you are setting expectations for your kids or asking them to do things, or you think maybe it's too hard for a 10-year-old to do this. kids will surprise you, and kids are resilient, and kids also want to learn from you. Have your kids come alongside you when they're learning a new skill. You can show them you doing it. They can watch you. Then you can do it with them. Then they can do it while you watch them. You can make minor corrections, and then they're ready to do it all on their own. So that also helps in terms of listening if they know how to do something. And that also can build a great, strong bond with you and your kids, because they don't just see you sitting around as the parent and they're doing everything, but you're saying, I'm going to come alongside of you. I'm going to teach you how to do this. You're going to watch me do it. We're going to do it together. Then I'm going to watch you do it and help you if you have questions or you need corrections. And then you're good to go. You know how to do this new skill on your own. So then when I ask you to do it, you're already good to go and you know how to do that. So you're really setting your kids up for success. Let them do things. Let them try things. Teach them how to do things so they can do it on their own. That whole, you know, if you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. If you teach a man a fish, he will eat for a lifetime. So that whole proverb kind of thing. So you know what motivates your kids. To get them to listen, just make sure you're patient, you're firm, you're consistent. Make sure the instructions are clear. Remember what motivates you and gets you to listen to someone. And you know, when you invariably mess up, yell at your kids because you're overwhelmed and tired or whatever the case may be, go apologize to them and say, I'm really sorry for yelling at you. I was frustrated, and start again and just say, I really just, you know, you can have those conversations with your kids. It's important for me to know that you're listening to me and that you're following through. We are a family. When I ask you to do something, it's important. Just like, you know, you can really say to your kids, and we've said this to ours, when you ask us to do something for you, when you want to go somewhere, you ask us to do a favor for you, more often than not, we're happy to do it for you. So we expect the same thing return for us when we ask you to do things for us, because you're part of the family unit and we all work together to do things. And you can explain to them as well that listening is a life skill that is important to learn, and how much it'll pay off in the future now. Well, in the future and now, of course, for them. So I think that's it. If you have any questions on listening or need something clarified, anything like that, please reach out. Let me know. If you need any specific help on any topic, of course, not just listening, but any of the episodes I've shared so far, any reels that you might have seen or anything you're just happening to ponder now, or something I haven't covered or you may just be struggling through, please reach out. I'm available on Instagram messages. You can reach out there, or the Facebook. You can direct message me there, and you can email me with any questions that you have. And please feel free to take advantage of the freebies I offer in the show notes. Please feel free to join the Authenticate Facebook group. Let's see what else. Just check everything else out that is offered. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I would love if you would rate and review me on whatever platform you're listening to. That means so much to me. It's the lifeblood for podcasters. And as I'm kicking back off the season, I would love it if you'd rate and review me. Let me know what you think. Ask me any questions that you have. And I hope you guys have a great day. And I will get back with you soon. Bye.